As the government takes note of the organic movement, another movement supporting the small farmer is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Slow food was the idea of an Italian named Carlos Petroni. He feared that farmers and cheesemakers in his native Piedmont section of Italy were being forced out by larger food producers and chains. Corby Cummer is the food writer for the Atlantic Monthly magazine. He's been an adherent of the slow food movement for years. His new book, The Pleasures of Slow Food, profiles slow food producers and recipes from the United States and around the world.
I wanted everybody to be able to try these foods. So I went to Pennsylvania Dutch country and found this fabulous character named Verna Dietrich, who's from a multi-generational Pennsylvania Dutch family and still raises her own hogs and cattle to make sausages and liverwurst that is so good you want to go back to school and have a liverwurst sandwich. And she does mail order in Crumbsville, Pennsylvania.
There's another grower in this book who I really like, and that is the fellow who grows apples.
Oh, Stephen Wood and Louisa Spencer, his wife, they opened a farm stand near Lebanon, New Hampshire, at the greatly named Poverty Lane Orchards, would sample out all of these dessert apples because Stephen Wood, like so many of the artisans I've written about, became completely impassioned about finding heirloom varieties of apples that don't look so great, but they have much better flavor than the very few varieties that are grown internationally because they can withstand shipping and transport. So they had this farm stand, and they knew that in order to make it pay, they would probably have to start importing other people's products and turn it into something terribly quaint and kitschy. So they then went into making hand-pressed cider, slightly alcoholic, fizzy, acidic but sparkling and delicious ciders. And they've helped revive an entire cider-making tradition in New England. And people now look to them to lessons, even though Stephen Wood says, I'm still learning. I can hardly teach them. But they're a great example of people who've pretty much started a movement on their own.
You've got a lot of recipes in this book that evince the slow food philosophy and ingredients. If you had to pick one, what would you put on offer for us?
Gosh, I tried to pick recipes that are pretty fast, despite the title Slow Food, but they really showcase great ingredients. For example, toasted angel hair pasta with saffron and vanilla sauce, because handmade vanilla tastes so much better and more fragrant, and it's really easy and delicious. Or risotto wrapped in cabbage leaves, a kind of wonderful Italian stuffed cabbage, or fried plantains with chipotle ketchup. These things are quick and easy, and once you taste them, you think, wow, I never knew this could be so good. I want to go out and find the ingredient near me that will really make all the difference in this recipe.
You've also got a picture here of the Garibaldi family's pesto alla Genovese and these tortellas called testaroli. And there's a wonderful picture of this woman, Maria Ignace. This is, I think, in Italy, and she's making this sort of pesto crepe dumpling. Could you take us into her kitchen?
Well, in fact, her kitchen is a separate stone hearth built outside the main living area in the hillsides of Liguria, the paradisal Italian Riviera, where everybody is as thrifty as they are committed to good old-fashioned traditions. A reason it goes with a thrift. And she and her son, who was a stevedore for 17 years, couldn't afford to keep their farm going unless they opened a small inn and restaurant. And politicians, rich people, regular old folks come from miles around to watch her bend over the fire to use stone molds into which she pours this crepe batter, and it sizzles and it forms this pillowy pancake crepe that she then takes out one at a time out of these things that look like flower pots. She knocks them out after they're done over the fire. Then she stacks them, but layered in between is her own handmade pesto sauce, and she makes a kind of huge flapjack stack filled with this dripping, slightly gooey, golden, unctuous green pesto. You can understand why they come from miles around.
It does look wonderful. We can make these at home?
You can, and it's a very easy crepe batter, and pesto is so simple to make. But they are flapjacks gone to heaven.
Corby Cummer, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Corby Cummer is an editor at Atlantic Monthly Magazine and the author of The Pleasures of Slow Food, celebrating authentic traditions, flavors, and recipes, and there's more about it on our website at npr.org. And tomorrow, the slow food movement meets at its biennial Salone del Gusto in Turin, Italy, a feast and more.